bashers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. To be on the show with me, it's the one and only number you need to know and use. It's 866-444-3478, wide open line, so jump on here. We need to chat about something I'm not doing a very good job of here. First of all, I'll tell you that the hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods, makers of wonderful pet foods that Tater and Logan, I'll tell you about too. Tater and Carmen are enjoying a lot. They have no wheat, corn, or soy in any of their products, no chemical preservatives in any of the products in the facility, in their manufacturing facility. They just don't use any, and which is a big deal. And some of the products, the main ones that we use, are totally grain-free. So there's a lot of choices there, and I recommend highly you go to VictorDogFood.com and check it all out. They've got a great website and great Facebook because of several reasons, but the thing I like the most are the pictures of the wonderful animals there. Related to that, the thing that we're not doing a very good job of is that we are not helping the doggies at the SPCA very well. From last week, Athena is still waiting for a home. Before that, Minnie Pearl is still waiting for a home. And we've got a really good-looking lady this week, Savannah, 8-year-old, 56-pound Labrador mix. Beautiful coat, a white chest, and muzzle. She's really, really pretty and apparently loves to snuggle and loves human companionship. So we've got three really good dogs at the SPCA. This is in Dallas. This is the SPCA just west of downtown Dallas. So those of you in the area, let's ease by there. If you know anybody that might be looking for a pet, let's try to help these great potential family members. I was telling some people yesterday that our two mutts, that's where they came from, this exact facility. So I can vouch for it highly. So let's help them out. Let's give them a hand. And check out, again, VictorDogFood.com. I think you'll be as impressed as we have been. My tea is my usual this morning. I was running around and taking care of a whole bunch of different things, and so I just did it simple. Ginger, cut up some fresh ginger real quick, squeezed about a fourth of a fresh organic lemon, and then put some honey in it at the end, and it's really a good tea, so try it out. It's a good staple. You can use that as a base, by the way, and add thyme, oregano, I like rosemary. Some people don't like rosemary in herb teas. I do. I like bay in the tea from time to time. And I like all the lemony herbs, too. If you're using fresh lemon juice, you may not need to do lemon balm and lemon mint and lemon grass and things like that, but you certainly can. And you can make the tea just out of those. I was talking to Bob Webster on his show yesterday, as we always do, usually around 8 o'clock in the morning here Central time. He's down in San Antonio, and we were talking about how the weather is affecting things coming out in kind of odd ways. Some things way ahead of schedule, some things behind schedule. Some plants have been damaged a little bit, at least their flowers and buds, because they came out so early. And I was telling him about one of the more unusual ones that I have in several places. We've got about four or five plantings of asparagus, and one of them is far out producing the others, and of the biggest spears you've ever seen. I mean, they're as big as your thumb, and really powerful, really a lot of them, delicious sweet taste. And some of the other asparagus plantings don't have anything showing at all. And then a couple of them have just real spindly spears coming up. He suggested it probably was a difference in the moisture level in the soil, and I'm going to check that. I didn't get around to doing it yesterday. I used my trusty golf club with the head broken off probe and see what's going on with the soil down in the ground and see if that maybe is a difference. I would doubt very seriously if it was any kind of winter damage from crazy weather that we've had. And we were talking about the fact that the freeze that we had really two times, but especially this second one, is the worst kind you can have. It was about 78 or 9 or 80 degrees and then dropped to 13 to 15 degrees in a very short period of time. I was quite surprised, I'll have to admit to you, about one plant. I've been telling you for a long time that some of the books and some of the radio people and some of the writers will tell you that certain things aren't very winter hardy, and you need to protect them, take them inside in the winter and things like that. And one that comes up over and over again is bay. We've had our bay outside for 35 years now. It's about 35 feet tall, I guess. It's close to that, 30 anyway. It's really big, would be taller, but ice storm broke some of it off some years ago. I thought I'd have some – I really expected some cosmetic burn this year with that dramatic drop from 80 degrees, you know, down so low. And I don't see any at all. In fact, and I forgot to do it, I was going to take a picture, and I will when I get back and put it on Facebook for you real quickly. It's in full bloom. The flowers weren't even damaged. So once again, it shows the power of the natural organic program. I think we have a minimum of 4 to 5 degrees protection. Complex carbohydrates, these sugars that get into the plant, and along with that, the mineral content and the mineral balance in the plants, just gives an antifreeze type of a condition there that helps amazingly well. You can't overdo it. You can't put tropical plants out and expect them to take heavy freezes. But when something's kind of marginal, I first experienced this years ago when I had a bunch of aloe vera, and I fouled up finally, and I was too lazy to protect them, and I let a real hard freeze get them. But and it was a whole, I guess I had 20 different big pots of aloe vera that I had started from some that I had brought back from Costa Rica, which you're probably not supposed to do. But I was surprised with them that we went through several pretty good frosts with them outside, and it didn't kill them. It's not the smartest thing to do. You probably do some damage to the tips and the flower production if you're interested in that. And aloe vera have beautiful flowers, which you can enjoy the way they look, or you can eat them. They're delicious, and they really are very nutritious as well, have some medicinal value also. But my point was, it was kind of interesting to see that on days where we were below 32 degrees and had some pretty good frost, that the aloe vera could take that. Now, I don't recommend that. Don't recommend tropical plants, but it being left out in freezing weather. But you might be surprised if you make a mistake, or if you leave some windows open somewhere, a greenhouse or a protected area that you shouldn't have, that with the organic program, you can sometimes get away with it. Don't recommend you pushing the envelope, but you might see that you do have some advantage there, and it's pretty significant in some cases. Let's see what else I was going to tell you. In Howard's garden, things are going on. We've got petunias blooming like crazy. I was noticing this morning when I went out for the paper that the fragrance is terrific. Any petunias are going to give you some fragrance. The older ones, if you can find them, that have the softer pastel colors that kind of are rangy and grow laterally and are good in hanging baskets and things like that, will tend to have the best fragrance. And I really enjoy that. We've got some yellow wallflowers that I think I told you about earlier that are just really, really nice. They're such a bright yellow. I would recommend you look into those during transitional weather next time, if not this year. And what else we've got in bloom right now? We've planted a whole bunch of new roses. I've I thought it would be a good idea to kind of replant all of the ones that I have had before and had good luck with, and I've recommended in lists we've talked about on Facebook and everything. But this time, label them very well and make them available for people to see. Plus, we've added some of the roses that other people said were their most foolproof roses. So we're going to have quite a bit more for you there. Talk more about In Howard's Garden and go to the phones right after this. 866-444-3478. Crazy water is so good and good for you, it's crazy. Crazy water is what I drink, and you should too. Deep underground, Mother Nature infuses crazy water with the perfect mix of over 11 dissolved minerals for the health of your body. You can get all the crazy water you need at HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and find a store in your area. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy water, so good, it's crazy.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro. Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Ask for it in our local garden center, farm and feed, or hardware store. For more information, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That's 877-655-2121 or GarrettJuicePro.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you. And before I finish, I wanted to do a little bit more on N. Howard's garden and a couple of other issues I had on my mind. But let's go ahead and catch up on phone calls first. Chris is first up in Allen. Hello, Chris. Chris, you there?
Hi, Howard.
What's
going? Initially I had one question for you, but now I thought of a couple more.
Okay.
The first one was on mulch. Should you get rid of the old mulch every year or just leave it in the beds?
Well, it's a good question, and it's one that is a timing issue. Once you get a good feel for the timing of how long it takes the mulch you're using to break down, one of the reasons I like the shredded native tree trimmings is that they break down pretty much in one season. And once you figure out what that timing is, you can kind of time your fertilizing to when the mulch is kind of at its thinnest level and needs to be replenished. You know, that's the most sophisticated way to do it. The easiest way to do it is just put the fertilizer out on top of the mulch, use a little three-prong cultivator, which is what I use, or any kind of a device, and kind of scratch it around a little bit and water it in and don't worry about it. I don't think it's ever worth your time to pull the mulch back, fertilize, or put amendments, and then put the mulch back on. You can do it. It doesn't hurt anything to do it, but I like to time it so that the mulch is broken down and has become compost and feeding the soil really well. You put your extra organic fertilizer on at that point and then add more shredded material on top. That's ideal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The second question, I've got a live oak. It's about 4 years old, and it's one of the live oaks has little, like, bubble things on the ends of some of the branches in the bark.
Mm-hmm.
Is that some kind of disease?
Well, are they kind of dark gray and hard?
I didn't touch them. They're the same color as the normal bark.
Okay. Probably galls. Go to dirtdoctor.com and look in the library under galls. Live oaks have a very common gall. In fact, one of the properties that we help take care of has one live oak in the front yard, and when we first started helping with the management of it, it was covered in these galls, and they tend to be out toward the tip growth, and they'll range in size from the size of a pencil eraser to the size of a big marble, I guess. They are a definite sign They're caused by insect, little insect stings and galls form. There's a whole bunch of different kind of galls, but the one that normally grows on live oaks is this real dark, hard one. And if you have it, real heavy populations of it, it's a sign of stress. And a lot of times you can relieve the stress by exposing the flare, changing the fertilizer program, watering a little more or a little less. There may be a perched water table or a drainage problem or something like that. You see what I mean? And when you see that, it's kind of like seeing mistletoe in a tree. It is a dead giveaway that something is stressing the tree. You take that away, that stress away, the galls will just kind of slowly vanish.
Okay.
If you have a few of them here and there, no big deal. In fact, in red oaks, everybody, no matter how healthy the tree is, will have galls that are green at first, and then they turn into a manila folder color, and they're light as a feather, and you crush them. They're just very, very light inside. It looks like a dandelion flower inside, and that's another form of gall that's created by a little benign wasp.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The last question I have is I've got three windmill palms that managed to fare the winter
pretty
well, but I think it's a Mediterranean palm I have, and it looks like it's pretty much dead. If everything is brown, with the exception of some in the middle, it's still green, would you pretty much consider that dead or not?
Well, that point right in the center is the key. If it's green, it's still alive. If it killed that point right in the center where the fronds came from the last year, if it's dead, it's dead as a doornail, and there's nothing you can do. Mediterranean palm is normally one we say is relatively cold hardy, but I may kind of adjust my recommendation on it. I have a couple, and they're alive, kind of like you're saying. There's still some green, but they don't look very good. I think they've been damaged enough to where they're going to limp along now and not be worth keeping. The ones that weren't damaged at all that you might want to look at in the future would be needle palm and the Texas native sable. And let's see, what is the other one that I've got? There's one of the Mexican fan palms that's very durable, and one of them died all over town. So you have to be careful about getting the right one. The one that's called Falifera is, I think, the one that's really tough. I'll look that up and double check it for you. But the one that is just about indestructible. Well, there's another one, too. I don't like it that much, but it's virtually indestructible. It's one called Japanese fan palm, and it's the one that has a taper that goes the opposite direction. It'll actually be a thinner trunk at the ground than it is up at the foliage because it's got a bunch of fuzzy stuff on it. It gives the illusion that the trunk is thicker at the top. It is like iron as far as winter hardiness. Not my favorite because of that flimsy-looking trunk, but that would be one for you to look at, too. Mediterranean, yeah, you flip a coin on that one, whether you want to try it again.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call. Wondered if he was there. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Birds are flying in, so Neil, hang on, we'll get you right when I come back, and then we'll get into some other things. But there's room to jump on here at 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's go talk to Neil, and then I'll talk about palms just a little bit more. Hi, Neil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, I have a problem I want to talk to you about, but I wanted to mention, too, I heard you talk about Costa Rica, and it reminded me, did you ever hear about the study on crocodiles down there along the rivers around the banana plantations?
No, I missed that, I guess. What's the story?
It was on the NPR in the last several months, and there was a research scientist that went down there and took tissue samples from the crocodiles around the banana plantations.
Mm-hmm.
In the rivers that irrigate them, and found in the tissue samples things like DDT and other chemicals that have been banned there for over 20 years.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise them.
I think his conclusion was that's how long it stays in the tissue.
Yeah, and we've got some products now that people are pushing as being safe. I was going to talk about this specific thing, and I will in more detail later, but one of them that really surprises people that's in that category is Roundup, you know, the glyphosate.
Yeah.
Costa Rica is a fantastic place. I've spent a fair amount of time there. I consulted on an aloe vera growing operation. The only The only thing bad about Costa Rica, and they can't seem to get a handle on it, they have the worst roads on earth there. Their major highway through the center of the country is like, you know, one of our worst farmed market roads with potholes in it. I don't know why they can't get a handle on that issue.
All it takes is higher taxes.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, I see what you're about to ask about, and it's a fairly common problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I live on a creek bottom where there are a lot of native, what I'm assuming are cedar elms, although I'm not really great at telling one from another elm.
Mm-hmm.
But I took out all the concrete and grass out of the landscape and came back with everything now is topped with either decomposed granite or cedar mulch. And now I've got thousands of these little seedlings coming up, and I've got to get rid of them before they get big and hardened off.
What you probably have, Neil, same thing that I see every year. I have a gigantic, relatively gigantic to our neighborhood, American elm behind us, and it's probably American elm seedlings coming up.
Okay.
It can be other cedar elm, really going to be a fall deal more than a spring.
Okay.
But the American elm, it comes up like ground cover, just solid in some places, as you know. There's no foolproof way to stop it. There's nothing you can do to the tree to stop it. There's nothing you could put on the soil. I guess one thing that could possibly help some, but I don't think it'd be cost effective, would be to spread corn gluten meal all over the place, including on top of the mulch in the beds.
I'd be happy to do that if the timing were right next year. Even though it might be expensive, I'd rather do that than have these things come up and have to fight them later.
I tell you what, it would be, I'm going to put you in charge of this research. It would be really good to do it in one area and not in another, and let's see if it works or not on a seed that big. That's a pretty big seed. Compared to, weed seed that corn gluten meal functions as a pre-emergent on. But it would be worth a try to see what it would do. The other things that you can do, there's a couple of different things. I wrote a whole article and ended up being a newsletter on alternative herbicides, weed control products.
Yep.
And you can spray the vinegar and kill them. You got to keep the vinegar off of your other plants. You could also get one of these little propane flamethrowers. They're made and sold.
Oh, that's a great idea.
For weed control. I mean, there's great big ones for agriculture use. And I've got one in my office that's just a little. It's about the size of a medium to small size fire extinguisher, and runs off propane. You got to learn how to use it. You don't actually, you keep the flame away from it so it kind of melts the plant. It kills it permanently rather than just burn it off. If you burn it off real fast, it'll tend to grow back. They give you some instruction on that. Of course, any kind of, flame deal, you got to be real careful with it.
Speaking of that, if I'm going to do it in the area where the cedar mulch is, can I wet it first?
Yeah, probably a good idea. Probably a real good idea. And I think that they would have some helpful tips and everything. Mine was called, I think it's in that article. You can go to the library and dirtdoctor.com, and it's in there. I think it's called Red Dragon. And they sell online, and you might be able to get, one of the hardware stores or some of them. Gecko might have something like that in stock or can get it for you if you don't want to just buy it direct. But that'd be worth a try. The corn gluten meal would be worth a try. Vinegar will kill them when they're young and tender little seedlings, but it's a little bit more trouble. So,
well, I have that Scythe product that's got the coconut in
that
it.
That will do it too. That'll work
well,
too.
Well, I don't know if it'll work now though, because on the label it says it's best when the temperatures are high.
Well, that's the case with any of those contact killing things like vinegar or any of the fatty acid products. They're going to work better when it's warm. So, even though it's nice and cool in the morning, wait till it's the middle of the day, and it'll burn them up pretty quickly. You might just try all those, see what works best for you. To be honest with you, what I do is we do a little hand work. I do a little roughing up the mulch with that three-prong cultivating tool that I talk about from time to time, and we just kind of deal with it.
You mean just like flipping them over to get them out.
Yeah, just kind of rough it up. And when they're little tiny seedlings, that does a pretty good job of killing them.
Okay. All right.
But it's American elm seedlings. I'll bet you a dollar.
Okay. Well, the leaves, I've got them right here in my hand. They're football shaped with serrations along the edges.
About 3 inches long?
Well, they're not that yet because, they're just now leafing out.
Oh, you're talking about the new green leaves. Yeah. It's probably American elm. Take a look at the pictures online and all. It doesn't matter what the seedling is. The same techniques we've been talking about would be used.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Good luck. Thank you. Let me know, okay?
All right.
All righty. And we got wide open lines for you. So load up here. It's 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. Back to in Howard's garden, we have some interesting things going on. My big ginkgo is really got a lot of leaves. It's burst out just the last few days, as has the Persian ironwood, the parodia that I've been talking about more and more, and I'm going to continue because it's a great tree that ought to be used a lot more. It is a very close kin to witch hazel, but it's a much prettier plant than witch hazel. It has a beautiful trunk and exfoliating bark, not as heavy as paper bark maple or some of the crepe myrtles and all, but it does exfoliate, and the rest of it is real smooth and dramatic. But the foliage looks like witch hazel, only a little bigger and a little more dramatic. It's not a symmetrical leaf. And it has knock-your-eyes-out yellow fall color in my garden. In some soils, it'll have red fall color. So it's a great one. Make a note of it and try to track you one down. You may have to order it online or something because a lot of the nurseries will not have it. I bought it in a Dallas nursery several years ago, and I've had it for 15 years or something. It's just doing great. And it was sold to me as a witch hazel. But it is, and I've got it in at least one, maybe two of my books as witch hazel, and it looks very similar, but it is not witch hazel. It has these really interesting flowers in the dead of winter, and you got to kind of be on the lookout for them. I would have missed them totally if I hadn't seen a bird or wind or something knocked a couple of them off and I saw them on the ground. And then you look up in the tree in the winter and on the ends of bare branches is these funny looking little masses of red that are the flowers of the Persian ironwood. The other things, pansies and violas that we planted actually kind of late. I didn't plant them in the fall like I recommend to everybody. I planted them later on in the winter, and they've gone through these two freezes. The first one, we covered 95% of them. The ones at the office that were planted at the same time, I did not cover. Second time around, when we had that 80 degrees down to 15 degrees, I didn't have time. I didn't cover any of them at all. They got a little cosmetic damage from that and then popped right back, and they look great. The ones we didn't cover at all at the office look as good or better. So, yeah, I still think that floating row cover is a great value and a smart thing to do. But, again, the point is if you're using a natural organic program, the tolerances there are pretty good, even for cold hardiness. We haven't seen any crown rot or any disease on any of the pansies or violas or Johnny jump-ups at all. All I've fertilized with this year is alfalfa meal and the Garrett Juice Pro, and they're all loving it. Dianthus, same thing. And let's see what else is happening. I put it on Facebook. You may want to take a look at it. I've got a little dwarf Japanese maple that came out earlier than any of the maples and just is putting on a spectacular show. It's got really interesting red leaves now with green edges. And then the larger Japanese maples that I have, and I've got about 10 or 12 different varieties, the new foliage is beautiful, as it always is, nice and fuzzy and a lot of different colors and everything. But far behind this little dwarf one. And I also put on Facebook, and you can go to facebook.com, The Dirt Doctor, or you just go to Howard Garrett or The Dirt Doctor and eventually find it that way. But I put a little quick story. I'm going to turn it into a slideshow that'll be in more detail. But I put a real quick series of photographs about that dwarf Japanese maple when I bought it and planted it. When I bought it, it was in a, like a 5 or 7 gallon container. I took it out of the container, and it was in a ball and burlap down in the container. And you couldn't even see the burlap. The burlap was covered with mulch and soil in the pot. Okay, so I pull it out. I undo the burlap of the on the trunk of the tree and open it, and I notice that, you know, the trunk's coming out of the soil under the burlap like a little straw, as we always run into. And I took about 4 inches, three and a half, 4 inches of soil off the top of the ball of that little dwarf Japanese maple that was actually under the burlap, or the ball and burlap situation there. Got down to the flare, planted it in a concrete container, and it's been there ever since and just has done spectacular. But wanted to show you that, and you can go see some of it, and I'll do a more detailed slideshow video for you of that whole process because it's real good. It's what you'll run into with 90% of the plants that you buy at the garden center, and you need to do the same thing. 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, be back right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And I've got several things I got to catch up on, but we got loaded lines, so I'm going to go right to the phones after one quick thing. I didn't finish on palms. People having problems with palms, again, if that bud right in the center of the plant where the fronds emerge from is brown, it's gone. If it's green, you might be able to get the plants back. We've done an article on palms, and it's in the library. You can go and find it under palms, Cole Hardy Choices. And I don't know, like I said, I may change my recommendations on Mediterranean because what I'm seeing is it didn't hold up quite as well as some of these others. And I was right with what I said before. The tough fan palm is Washingtonia fulifera, and it's tough as it can be. It's the California fan palm, which is interesting. The one that's not so tough is the Washingtonia robusta. It's the Mexican fan palm. They look very similar, so be careful when you're buying those things. The fulifera is as cold hardy as our sable palm here, and probably almost as tough as the needle palm, which is the best of all. Pindo palm is a good one too, P-I-N-D-O. So you can look at this whole article we wrote about it, and we can talk about that more if you want. Back to the phones. Pam and Richardson next up. Hi, Pam.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a Hardy Madison star jasmine covering a wall in my backyard. It's been in the ground 6.5 years and has just performed beautifully.
Uh-huh.
But it is really brown.
Crispy?
The leaves are pretty crispy, yes. When I scratch the twigs, they're still green underneath, and I've gotten two different recommendations from two different nurseries.
Well,
so I don't know whether to dig it up and start over or not.
Is this Confederate jasmine, did you say?
It's Hardy Madison Star Jasmine. Yes, it is one of the Confederates, I think.
Okay. It's iffy. It could go either way. Mine is crisp on the top, and it's very much exposed and hadn't been taken care of well at all. I'm going to leave it for just a little bit longer, and I'll strip those brown dry leaves off. Sometimes okay. when you do that, it kind of shocks it a little bit into wanting to set some buds and grow if there's any life in those stems. But you ought to be able to tell pretty quickly because things are leafing out like crazy right now.
Right.
And if it doesn't leaf out pretty soon, I'd keep an eye on the base. It may come back from the bottom, may come back from the ground and be fine. It'll grow real fast. But if you don't have some new growth happening after you strip those dead dry leaves off pretty quickly, you know, within a week or so, I think that the top's probably going to be completely dead.
Okay. That's what I was afraid of. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Drench it with some Garrett juice, your own mixture,
oh, yeah.
or get one of the commercial ones, and that'll help more than anything you can do.
Excellent.
Okay,
thank
Penny.
You.
Thank you. Let's go to South Lake and talk to Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I have my front yard is a disaster, and I think the cause is the same sort of topic, and that is the two trees that are in the front of the house.
Uh-huh.
The roots are coming up out of the ground. I believe they're called pear trees, but they're not, you know, fruit bearing.
Okay, you got some ornamental pears like Bradford pears, maybe?
I'm not sure. The leaves turn white initially, and then they fall, and then they turn green. They bud green after that.
The leaves turn white?
Yeah, the trees turn all completely white.
Oh, white flowers in the spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they fall off, and then they bud green.
Yeah. Well, it can be any of the ornamental pears. But anyway, the problem is roots that are surfacing
yeah,
in the lawn.
Okay. And in addition to that, no grass grows anywhere within the circumference of the branch radius. So it's a twofold problem.
Well, you got two things going on. The shade of the tree could be causing the grass problems, although the ornamental pears tend to be pretty upright and don't create real dense shade a lot of times. Are these pretty wide and thick?
They're fairly. I don't know what the definition of pretty is. You know, it's all subjective. But
yeah.
They're definitely over, you know, maybe 15 feet wide.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. When roots surface in the lawn, it's generally you're not watering deeply enough and waiting a long time and watering deeply again. You're watering kind of lightly and just keeping the top moist and the roots like that and develop up there. On the other hand, sometimes just a genetic thing. Sometimes trees' roots just like being up there at the surface of the soil. It doesn't have really anything to do with the health of the tree. In fact, from the tree's standpoint, having shallow roots and a big flare exposed and everything is very healthy. It's just a problem for your turf. You can cut some of the roots away. It doesn't hurt the tree any more than cutting a similar percentage of limbs out of the top of the tree. So that's one way you can go. What you don't want to do is top dress with any soil and build the grade up on the tree because that definitely will hurt it and it won't help your grass situation much anyway. So do a little root pruning if you want to leave the situation like it is, or convert that area where the roots are coming up from grass over to ground cover. Take the grass out, do a little bed preparation with hand tools, turning forks, compost, rock powder, and sugar, and plant some ground covers that can take shady conditions. And that's probably what I'd look at doing.
If someone told me you could dig it, you know, like around the roots and put sand where the roots will have an easier time growing downward.
No, that'd be a total waste of time.
Okay.
One of the two things, cut them away or change to ground cover and let the ground cover cover them up.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate your call. Yeah, that one's pretty simple. I'm Howard Garrett. I got more for you after this break, and you can call me at 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com, and we will talk more after this.